All right, as we head towards a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year. How will your hard-earned savings fare? You already see the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store. The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from my good friends at Birch Gold. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can protect yourself, your family, and get a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. All you have to do is text the word Graham, that's G-R-A-H-A-M, to 989898, and Birch Gold will send you a free, no-questions-asked info kit on gold. They'll even help you convert an existing IRA or a 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Just text the word Graham to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, to 989898 right now.
Somebody say, God is good. All the time. Right now, we have another mighty man of God getting ready to take the stage and bring the word. He's here with his lovely wife, Alyssa. They're awesome. He's here with his best friend, Hot Seat Todd. Love Hot Seat Todd. And Alyssa. Awesome people. And all the guys from the King's Council. Graham is a New York Times best-selling author. He's an Army combat veteran. He's an outspoken patriot of this great country. He's the host of the Dear America podcast. He's an incredible husband, father, follower of Christ, and I'm so blessed to call him a friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Graham Allen.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Hey, let's give a praise for the Lord right now, not for me. Let's go. Woo! Don't stand down. Don't sit down yet. If you are thankful that the Lord woke you up this morning, put breath in your lungs. Do you know what the odds are for you to wake up every morning? Do you have any idea the chances you have not to wake up? In fact, going to sleep is the ultimate faith in the Lord because we have no control of it whatsoever. But if God woke you up this morning, give him a mighty shout of praise because you are here in the house of the Lord this morning. Woo! I've always wanted to say this. You may take your seats. Woo, what's going on, everybody? Everybody good? Yeah. All right. So, I wanted to start this off. They told me I got like 30 to, you know, an hour and a half to talk to you guys. So, I've never talked that short of time. How many people watched the show? How many people have seen the show? Okay, awesome. So, you know, I'm used to talking for, you know, quite a long time. But I've got a message here, and I had one direction that I was going to go, and I knew I was going to go this way. But then, you know, the Lord, right before I got here, was like, you know what, I think you should go this way. And I was like, I don't know, God. I've already got this worked out this way. Don't you see my notes? I really don't want to do this again. He's like, I think you should do it again. I was like, I don't know if I should do it again. Maybe I shouldn't do it again. I did it again. So we got a whole new message today. But before I do that, I want to talk about just a little funny thing. So first of all, let's give it, I think he walked to the back. Let's give a round of applause for your pastor, Pastor Kevin. Is he not awesome? And the reason I say that is because of this. So apparently I was informed when it got announced that I was going to come here that there were some people who, I don't know, had some problems with it, right? There were some people that were a little upset, a little, salt in their Cheerios, whatever you want to call it. They just weren't happy, right? Graham Allen at a church. Oh, no. We can't have that. Drag queen story hour, sure. Graham Allen preaching? Absolutely not. We can't have that happen. So anyway, so I talked about it on the show. Next thing I know, the mayor finds out about it and all this other kind of stuff. The mayor was very hospitable, apparently. And look, hey, people can rise up against this, but people cannot stop the word of God from being preached. No way. So I got to thinking, okay, some people are upset I'm going. Maybe I should go in there and, you know, maybe I should talk like this. And the Lord is with you. The Lord loves you. And be super, super calm about it. But then I thought, you know what? What way can I make it easy on Pastor Kevin and so he doesn't have to hear about it? And like, how can I be the least controversial way possible? And I was like, you know what? I think that I need a spear when I preach, because there is nothing more formidable than a man with a spear. Somebody could walk in with an AR right now and you would be more afraid of the man with the spear than you would with the AR. All right, now, why do I have a spear? Well, because, you know, it's me. Why not, right? So I got to thinking about the body of Christ, and I got to thinking about all this kind of stuff, and how many people know that the body of Christ is many things, right? Got the hands, the feet, all the above. But most people want to be the mouth, right? That's what most people want to be. They want to be the mouth. They want to be the person talking. But without the whole body, none of it works, right? Now, I'd heard that the 9 a.m. was the big service. Without the whole body, none of it works, right? Okay, there we go. So an interesting thing about a spear is when people see a spear, everybody hears this saying all the time. How many of you have heard the phrase, the tip of the spear? That's like the, that's the part that everybody wants to be, the tip of the spear. But the tip of the spear is this little bitty little part right there. Now, there's a whole other thing here. In fact, I Googled this because I did not know. I know a lot of things, but, you know, spearism is not like my most thing. So the spear is actually comprised of a few parts, all right? You got the point, or the tip, as people call it. You got the shaft, and then this part is called the heel or the foot. Now, this is balancing purposes, right? Spear has to be able to be balanced. But a spear by itself... Please don't cause my insurance. A spear by itself, although it looks really nice, if left completely alone, it's completely useless, right? A spear by itself is completely useless. Now, we're breaking a mold today. Most people use this toward the end of the service. We're going to start off with a bang here. In fact, this spear, for those of you who can see it, this spear looks really nice. It's brand new. It's super sharp. Yeah, that's real. Don't touch that. No dings, no scars, no bruises. But, you know, the funny thing about this is a spear, most people don't know this, a spear that has no dings, a spear that has no bruises, no scars, if you will. Well, this is a spear that's done nothing. This is a spear that hasn't done anything. More importantly, a spear is no good if you don't have a launcher. Right? Who is the most Viking-looking, Achilles-looking person in the audit? Christian. There he is. Christian, come up here for a minute. Everybody, Christian, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Christian, so I'm going to need you to give me the most Apollo-looking stance with this spear that you can possibly do. So now... we've got the spear, and now we've got our launcher right here, okay? He's going to take his stance. Oh, there we go. Look at this. Look how beautiful he looks. Now, this is where his working out is going to come into play. I need you to hold it just like that. All right. Now, this looks really good, does it not?
Yeah.
Does it not? But preparation with no action leads to nothing. Right? Preparation with no action leads to nothing. But without all of this, so you've got the spear, you've got the launcher, but if you surround yourself by the wrong people and or you don't have the right person guiding you, now Christian, I've been sued before. So I cannot state this enough. When I point you in the wrong direction, because I'm not God, do not throw the spear. So we're going to rotate like this. Now see, a lot of us have good intentions, we have good purpose, but we surround ourselves with the wrong people telling us the wrong thing. And when you got the wrong people telling you the wrong thing, although you have your skills, although you have, you look good, you're ready, your form is good, people can get hurt. And people can get led the wrong way. Because at the end of the day, it's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. Now, I'm not the Lord, but we're just going to represent that the Lord is now guiding Christian to the right target to go against. And Christian, whenever you're ready, let her have it. Do it. Oh! Let's do it again. One more time. No! It's done. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian, round of applause. You can stab it one time, Christian. Just go for it. Oh, yes. All right. Oh, man. I bet you guys didn't think you were going to see that first thing. All right. So why do we talk about this? In fact, I'm going to remove this because I'm going to kill myself before it's over with. We'll just do that right there. All right, what's the purpose of this, Graham? What's the purpose? So now I'm going to give you the official title of my sermon today. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. The official title of this, and I need you to just collect yourselves and be ready to hear this, because I know this is going to be rough on some people. The title of my sermon today is You, everybody say you,
are not
the main character. One more time, it wasn't loud enough. You
are not
the main character.
All
right, let's talk about this. Here we go. Okay, so I'm at this age. How many people got kids? Okay, all right. How many people love their kids? Some hands went down. How many people have movies that you grew up loving and you've tried to start to introduce them to your children a little bit there? Okay, all right. How many people still love your kids after that experience? Okay, all right. So my children are at this age where, you know, I'm starting to introduce them to, like, you know, the good movies, right? Like I got a 13 and a 12-year-old, and like, all right, it's time. We've had enough of this kiddie stuff. It's time to watch the good movies, man. All this other kind of stuff. And my children have started doing this thing where, Alyssa's going to start laughing in a minute, where every time we watch a movie, the movie will start. And how many of you know sometimes the movie leads up to things and it introduces people as it goes on? And my kids always ask me, Dad, is that the main character? No, just watch the movie. Another character will come in, Dad! Is that the main character? Just shh and watch the movie. Psst, Dad. What? Is that the main character? Oh my gosh, will you just watch the movie? I promise you, by the end of the movie, it will all make sense. I love movies. But the fact of the matter is, you have your main characters, then you have your supporting cast in every movie, right? In fact, I would argue that with just the main characters, it wouldn't really be that big of a deal, right? If Frodo was alone in Lord of the Rings, that would just be a weird movie. This dude's walking around with a ring going invisible for no reason. Nobody's there. I love Batman. But if it's just Batman by himself walking around the streets in a costume, this is just an escaped mental patient. It makes no sense. Superman. If it was just Superman, he just came to Earth to hang out, I guess, and just sit around and bask in the sun. Without the supporting cast, we have no full movie. Okay? But as Christians, we have problems with this. As Christians, in fact, as Christians, we have problems with what happens after we give God our yes. God, yes, I want you in my heart. God, yes, I want you to be my Savior. But what now? In fact, many of us go down the road of the two most simplest questions. And if any of you have asked yourself these questions, raise your hand. And if you don't raise your hand, you're lying. Once we say yes to God, we struggle down what I call the rabbit hole of the two questions that you will never truly answer unless you're pointed in the right direction. Number one, what is my purpose? How many of us have had that? All five of you. There we go. Fantastic. And then, why am I here? There we go. More honesty on that one. One more time, just so you hear it. What happens after we give God our yes? Most Christians fall into this pit, this spiral, this Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole of what is my purpose and why am I here? Who's had that? Who has asked that question? Probably this morning. You try to get your kids here to church and you're like, what in the world am I even doing, man? We need an exorcist in here with our kids. Like, why is it putting our shoes on? It's this new concept every single day. But I'm going to help you out here, okay? And so I've got some points, I've got some notes, and if you guys are note takers, how many note takers we got? All right. All of them women. All of them. How many people got their phones out ready to take some notes in their iPhones? There we go. I love it. Okay, well, if you're a note taker, this is going to be for you. So number one, I'm going to answer those two questions for you because I have figured it out. Are you ready? All right, what is your purpose? You ready for this? To love God, worship God, and advance His kingdom. That's your purpose. Love God, worship God, and advance His kingdom. Here's the other one. Why am I here? Reference what I just said. It's the exact same thing. To love God, worship God, and advance His kingdom. Okay, so now I'm going to put some stuff in some points for you guys. So if you're point takers, here we go. All right, point number one. And I find this happens to a lot of Christians. Okay, this whole conference that we're coming off of is about vision and purpose, moving in your life, doing what it is that you feel you're supposed to do. But the problem is, a lot of times we fall into this trap of, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? Because let's just be honest, you're the main character in your own movie of your own life, right? That's what everybody wants, right? One person, one man's honest. Yep, I sure am. That's me. Give me the Oscar now. I am the main one. And I love it because that's how I am. That's how we all are. And if you don't, amen to that, it's okay. You're lying, but you're in church. This is where you need to be. This is where you need to be. This is the place to do it. Right? We all want to be the main character in our lives. God, tell me my purpose so the attention can be on me to show everybody how holy I am and how much I love you more than Teresa does, or so on. Ooh, a little quiet. Does that mean I'm on to something there? Ooh, it's always when you're quiet when you know you're there. Right on that edge of, all right, Graham, you keep going. I'm walking out. Oh, I thought somebody was walking out right there. It's the cameraman. I was like, oh, wow, it really happened. Okay. But while we try to figure out these things, Christians fall into traps, okay? We as Christians fall into major traps. One of them, and this is point number one. You ready? So for those of you taking notes, here you go. Let me take this water. Point number one. Stop waiting on God because He's already here. There you go. You can clap to that. How many people have heard this phrase from believers? Hey, Brother Billy, how you doing? Oh, blessed and highly favored. Oh, I'm good. Oh, okay. Well, how's the job going? Are things going okay? Well, you know, we're just waiting on God. Just waiting on God. Waiting on God. What? To do, did he leave? What are you talking about? But you know, I have a Bible verse to back this up, and it's just Genesis. It's all the way back in Genesis. And for those of you who didn't take, did any of you grow up like Assemblies of God? You did like the sword drills? You know what I'm talking about? You got to hold the Bible by the base, and they'd be like, Proverbs 16:4, and you know, and who can get there first? It's the most demeaning thing ever, because I lost every time. But for those of you who don't know where Genesis is, it's at the front of the book. It's just the first one, right? And then Genesis 1, says it very clearly. Who knows what Genesis 1 says? Come on. In the beginning, God created. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That dude is in charge of everything. And you're waiting on him? I'm just waiting on God to show up. I don't know. He didn't go nowhere. He's gone. You left and came back. What are you talking about? God has never gone anywhere. God was here before anything was here. God's around the entire time. What are you talking about? I'm just waiting on God. Just waiting on God. One day God's going to show up, and that's good. Man. He's already here. Stop. So many people are waiting on God. God's sitting here going, I'm waiting on you. Another thing that Christians fall into, and this is all about, we're talking about here about main characters, right? Because there is such a fine balance between all of this. Being a main character in your own story, but it's not your story. It's God's story. Every bit of this, we are all, newsflash. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the ending of my sermon before we go any further. Newsflash. God's the main character and we're all supporting cast. That's it. And most of us are supporting cast that won't even get listed as credit. We're cameraman number 5. Okay? That's the reality. Just, I'm giving it to you before I get there. So you can walk out now if that upsets you. Okay? Because some people are like, I don't know. I'm a pretty big deal. All right. All right. Another thing Christians fall into. And how many people have heard this? I'm just praying for God to open a door. No one's heard that. Pastor Kevin, what kind of church is this? I'm going to go to the Christian side of the room. We're going to talk to them. How many people have ever heard people say that? I'm just waiting on God to open up a door. God, open up a door. Open up a door. But the problem is, yes, God opens up doors. Absolutely. But God also gives you tools to open up the door yourself. And oftentimes we use the phrase, I'm just waiting on God to open up a door as an excuse to be lazy. As an excuse to wallow in our self-pity, as an excuse to go, well, that's why nothing's happening, because God's just not letting me have it yet. So I'll take you back to a little story here. And, oh, Grandma, where do you get that? Grandma, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'll take you just one story here. Okay, you guys heard the story of Jesus hanging out in this house, and all of a sudden these dudes and these friends got their friend that's paralyzed. They're like, you know what? They're just going to break through this dude's ceiling and lower him down. Everybody heard that story? Okay, we've been in church a long time. Okay, here's the thing. Where was the open door there? There wasn't one. In fact, not only was there not an open door, they weren't welcome there. So these people were like, No. We're not waiting on an open door. You're not going to tell me what I can and cannot do. I've got to get to Jesus. So we're climbing and parkouring up this roof, and we're breaking it down. Forget insurance policies, all the above. And we're lowering this dude through a roof and a ceiling because we got to get to Jesus. Where was the open door? Or does God give us the ability to open the doors ourselves? Open door. Sometimes an open door is the God-given gifts and abilities that God has given you to break a hole in a ceiling and lower down there because you have got to get to Jesus. So stop waiting on the lie that we have contorted that God's going to open a door. Oh, if God wants this to happen, it's just going to ease right through. Just going to ease right in, which Pastor Kevin will probably tell you, actually, what I've discovered as a Christian is right when you really start trying to do what the will of God has you to do, that's when all the resistance, that's when all the devil's work comes against you, that's when you lose a job, you lose money, friends disown you, all of a sudden something goes wrong with your house or blah, blah, blah. Everything you can possibly imagine, and most people would go, well, if God, this obviously is not of God. Because if it was of God, it wouldn't be hard like this. No, that's exactly what God wants you to do. The devil's the one that doesn't want you to do it. So the devil's throwing everything at you, and that's exactly the point where you take the spear and you throw it right through the shield. In my life, I've taken a lot of risk, a lot of jumps. But at no point was I 100% sure of anything. In fact, yesterday I talked a little bit about faith and doubt and how they correlate with each other. Because to have true faith, you have to have some. One more time. To have true faith, you have to have some. Because faith is belief in something that you can't, what? See, taste, smell, prove, touch, right? Okay, so in turn, there has to be some doubt to have true faith. Because if you don't, if you absolutely know, then that's not faith. That's simply knowing, right? Like I know if I throw this laptop or this iPad, whatever it's called, if I throw this, it's going to break. Because no matter how expensive it is or how technology advanced, if I throw it, it's going to break. You know right now, if you walk outside and I don't know, you haven't put oil in your car for 36 years, Alyssa. Alyssa's the most faith-filled person I know because she believes that E stands for everlasting and that the Lord will provide. I'm sorry, babe, where are you at? There's, I'm sorry. She's the most faith-filled believer I know because But it's that oftentimes me and Alyssa, when we are 51% sure. We're 51% sure that this is what we're supposed to do. This is the direction we're supposed to go. So we're going to jump. We're going to jump in. It's quiet here because most of you would not do a thing at 51%. That's not enough. God, I need a 90, 95 at best. And if you could work in the 99, that'd be great. Because Jesus... I don't know, but oftentimes I've noticed that the Lord doesn't work that way. Because see, a lot of times God wants to test our obedience before he'll hand us a blessing. And there's no faith in obedience when you know exactly what's going to happen. None. It's time for you to jump in and let the current take you. It's time for you to jump in and literally let Jesus take the wheel. And I've seen some of the drivers around here. Jesus needs to take the wheel 100%. I'm telling you, you're laughing because you know it's true. You live here. I live in Texas, and I'm like, whoa. That has nothing to do with the sermon at all. But surrendering to God's plan for your life. Surrendering to God and jumping into the current and allowing him to take you where he wants you to go. How many people have ever been on a canoe, a kayak, a boat, anything? Okay, how many of you know that when you turn your own engine off, what happens? Yeah, current's going to take you where the current's going to take you, right? Some people have never been in a boat ever. It's like, I don't even know what we're talking about here. The Starbucks line. If you get into the Starbucks line, you're just going to follow the route the Starbucks line wants you to go to. All right? No, I'm kidding. I know you guys don't drink that communist devil coffee. I know that. I know that. Yeah. I got a black rifle 300 espresso in the back, so. It's time to jump into current. Let Jesus take the wheel. But by doing that, we are admitting to the fact that we are not in control. And that's a hard thing for Christians to go about. We are not in control. Especially as men, right? You ever notice that women are far more open to Jesus taking control of their life? Men, can I offend you for a moment? Is that all right? The women are like, yes, do it. I've been trying to offend him all day. Do it. As men, we like to be in control. One of the hardest things for us to do is acknowledge the fact that we are not. We're not in control. We're not in control of any of it. And through that understanding, and when we finally get to the point where we realize when we relinquish control, we finally allow God to do in our lives his plan in the first place. And I don't know if you need to hear this, but you know, you never know. This might be your first time at church. God's plan is far better than your plan would ever be. And it's time to relinquish control. All right, point number two. You ready? This one's a long one, but this one is very important. So I'm going to say it twice. That's how you know it's important in church, when they say it twice. All right, point number two. God's purpose for your life is not your opinion of what you think your purpose should be. One more time for those of you who didn't hear it, because some of you are like, what? God's purpose for your life is not your opinion of what you think your life should be. See, especially in church world, right? Especially in church. We're in church right now. We're in church world. Church world is its own thing. And everybody in church, oh, God gave me a word today. God told me that I'm supposed to be on the stage. I'm supposed to be talking. I'm supposed to be director of this, or I'm supposed to be that, blah, 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 blah. I hear it all the time. What if God's purpose for your life is to be a greeter? Because you're the first line of defense for people that see what this church is all about. What if God's purpose in your life is to simply show God's light through you at the job that you work? Where do I know this from? God's purpose for your life is not your opinion of what your life should be. God is all powerful. God knew from the minute. This is Jeremiah 1:5. Anybody know this one? Bible study check, anybody? I'll help you out. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's not my opinion. That's fact. One more time. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God had a purpose in your life long before you had an opinion on what your life should be. One more time. God had a purpose for your life long before you were cognitively able to have an opinion for what you thought your life should be. It's quiet in here because people, look, this part of the message is the part, if I'm going to upset anybody, it's going to be this one. Because as human beings, we're our own main character. We're the star. Shelly got the promotion? What? Do they not know how good I am? And this is a natural thing. You see somebody get a blessing, and you go, I could do that. I could, have you heard me sing in the shower? I've got that. We need more parents being honest with their kids. Babe, this isn't the way for you. This isn't. Look, we'd have a lot less viral American Idol clips and the world would be better for it. All right, sub points for this. God's purpose for your life, this is point number two. God's purpose for your life is not your opinion of what you think your purpose should be, okay? Sub points are this. God, I want. God, I need. And that leads to God, let me explain. Ooh, oh my is right. Get ready, here we go. God, I want. Now, we referred back to Genesis 1, right? God's the creator of everything. Literally nothing. And it's not like he took something and then made it into other things. He created everything and then made it into everything. God's omnipresent. God's everywhere all the time. God is the sovereign King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Master of the Universe. You really think God doesn't know what you want? And then my favorite one, well, not my favorite one, my second favorite one is, God, I need. God, I need this, God. God, I need this. You think God truly doesn't know what you need? God, I need you to do this, God. Or God, if you want me to take this direction in my life, I need you to do this. Oftentimes it's followed with, I need you to open a door. You see, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you to see, and I'm trying to get you to break out of this big C church mentality that we've been drilled into our lives for so many years. God, I want this. And God, if I want to have this, I need you to do this. And then my favorite one is, God, let me explain. Hold on. God, I want this. God, I need this. And then God gives you something. God, I want a better job because I need more money so I can be a blessing. So God gives it to you. And then it turns into, God, let me explain why I can't tithe more to a church. You want that promotion because you need to provide for your family better. And then it turns into, God, let me explain why I'm not teaching my children how to pray. God, let me explain my marriage is failing because I don't have time because of this new job that you prayed for. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Kevin, you guys have a building over here that has been a struggle to get and is needed among this church. And there are some of you sitting here right now who, there are some of you going above and beyond. So before you come get the spear and hit me with it, just let me finish. There are some of you, and I'm hitting money because money's the biggest tightening of the cheeks thing that you can talk to people about. It just is. You can talk about adultery and lying and stealing and transgenderism all day, but money, nope. Hold on now, buddy. Is he even a preacher? I don't think he should be up there. Can we get him out of here? You know, there was a study done the other day and some of you were here yesterday and you've heard it, so don't tell everybody. But the average tithe per person per week in a church is $7. But the average trip to Starbucks is $15 a trip. God, I don't have it. God, I know that I prayed for this job that would give me more money, but you know, I bought a new car. I bought a bigger house. You know, we've got every single streaming service subscription possible, and somehow now we pay more money than we did for DirecTV. I don't. You know, God, I mean, I've got credit card debt. I don't have time. I don't have the ability to, God. And instead of giving God your first fruits, you're tipping God. Oh, that was a good sermon, preacher. Here's $20. Dance, puppet. I tell you, I'm not a pastor. I'm here to drop the grenade and you never have to see me again, but I'm here to tell you the truth. We're tipping God instead of realizing that it's not ours in the first place. Because you're not the main character. It's not your money. It's not your bank account. Getting ahead of myself. If you can't give God $100 because you make $10,000 a year, then how are you going to give him $100,000 when you make $1 million a year? Because see, through God's blessing, it doesn't get any easier to write that check, I promise. Because them zeros get more. And I'm telling you, me and my wife, we struggled with this. I mean, it's hard when you sit there and go, man, I owe God six figures. But you pray for this. God, give me so much of abundance so I can bless the church and I can advance your kingdom. And then it goes, ooh, I really like that Porsche. We pray for the very thing that we get, and then we become a slave to the very thing that we prayed for. Because we forgot the reason. We forgot who gave it to us in the first place. Alyssa told me not to get on a tangent, but I got no choice. I got to go here. I said this yesterday, too. Because the pastor told me this one time when I started making some money and things like this. And it's something that me and Alyssa have struggled with. All right? Because a lot of people are like, well, how do I know what the church is spending the money on? Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. What about this charity? I give to this charity, blah, blah, blah. God didn't tell you give to no charity. Sure, that's great, and that's a blessing of abundance of over. But there is a minimum threshold standard there that we have to do. But what happens is we have become a slave to this three-digit little number called a credit score. And this pastor told me one time, he said, let me ask you a question. Do you think God cares about your credit score? Really? Or do you think God cares about you obeying him first? You see, and the only reason we care about that credit score, and the only reason most of us get into financial problems in the first place, is because you had a good credit score and you got stuff you couldn't afford. In fact, the irony of it, that we would not give to God first because we're so worried about the debt we've put ourselves in to protect the score, that was the only reason we got into that debt in the first place. Do you see the chains that you have put on yourself? Whereas if you would just give God your first fruits, maybe you wouldn't have gone out and bought the things you weren't able to afford in the first place and taken away from God. Third point. I love this. I took this from Jack Hibbs. I can't claim it. Third point is, you just need to quit. The silence lets me know that, what? I'm not giving you an excuse to be lazy. I'm not giving you an excuse to, you know, just give up. What I mean, of course, is it's time for you to quit trying to control your own part in this story that we call life. It's time for you to surrender to the Lord. In fact, so many people want Jesus to be our Savior. And if I may be so bold to say, that's the easy part. I mean, if we're really being honest here, for the same people who want to be the person with the microphone, you're the same people that won't talk about Jesus in the Starbucks line. You're the same people that are afraid for your old buddies to see that you've changed, because you might lose a friend or two. You're the same people that worry about what someone's comment living in their mother's basement 3,000 miles away. You're so worried about that negative thing. Oh, Lord help me. Here we go. How many people have an Instagram? Anybody? Okay, all right, yes, okay. It's 2024, right? How many people know they've got these things called stories, right? On Instagram, you can put a little story up and in 24 hours it disappears, right? Hey, we're streaming to Rumble right now, so can we say hey to everybody online, by the way? Can we say hey to everybody? Hey, if you're watching on Rumble, comment amen in the chat. Let's blow the chat up. Anyway, back to Instagram stories. What's so surprising to me, the thing that irritates me so much, and Lord, I have to pray through it, is when, you know, you've got your story, and then you've got like that little green story. That's the one that only your, like, private friends can see. You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. That's where people say what they really want to say. But why do you say it hiding behind the people you know are going to agree with you? Why can't you be bold on those things to the public? Because you're afraid. You're afraid of what somebody's going to say. You're afraid of someone disagreeing with you. Newsflash, the Bible's very clear. If you follow him and you are a Christian, you will be persecuted against. Newsflash, people are not going to like you. Newsflash, it's going to be difficult. But we live in this circumstance where when something really gets us fired up, whether it be Jesus, a righteous anger, or somebody talk crap about your football team, that green little story is where you say what you really want to say. But if you really believed it, if you really believed it, you would say it for everybody to hear it. That's the truth. And you have to ask yourself internally today, do I really love the Lord? Do I really believe in the truths of the Bible? Do I really believe so much that I will stand out and I will take the arrows for whatever they may be, because truth is truth and your opinion doesn't matter about the truth? And show me the place in the Bible where Jesus cared more about your feelings than he did your internal soul. It's not in there. It's not in there. Ironically, when you worry about people's souls, their feelings seem to come into line and focus right after that. But we've got it messed up as a church. We have to worry about feelings first. Radical transformation of souls leads to radical alignment of feelings. You just need to quit. That's the point. Follow this with biblical chapters here. Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's time for you to quit trying to pave your own way forward. And it's time for you to pick up the cross and follow the way that Jesus wants you to go in the first place. Here's another thing. This will test our legalism for a minute. I don't know if you guys know this, but God doesn't actually need you. Let me, one more time, that hit some people. What? God doesn't actually need you. He's God. He made you. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We need God. God help us on a daily basis because we have no idea what we're doing. You can't even figure out what TV show you should or should not let your kids see, and you think God needs you? Now, God loves you, absolutely. But Jack Hibbs, again, don't steal people's stuff, give credit where it's due. He equated it to this. It's just like mowing the yard and your two-year-old wants to help. Fantastic. Do you need your two-year-old to mow the yard? No. In fact, it's going to take 47 hours longer. With the two-year-old, but you love your two-year-old. It would be like me trying to explain to someone how an iPhone works. I don't know, it's just, there's metal up there somewhere in the sky and there's a satellite. Well, what's a satellite? Oh, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. They send it up there through a rocket ship. Well, what's a rocket ship? Oh, buddy. It's a plane, but with boosters, and it goes high and all this other stuff. And then there's the signal that you can't see, taste, hear, or smell, or touch, and the signal makes it work. It'd be useless. Apple does not need Graham Allen to help their cell phones work. God doesn't need us, but here's the thing. Here's another thing. We have free will. Here's another thing. Mind bender for you. We're not obligated to serve God, but we are blessed to be obligated to God. We have free will. You can spit on God's face all you want to. We have free will to choose to do so. God doesn't need you. God desires you. You're not mandated like a slave or a servant. You will do this and you will do that. No, we have free will to decide. But what a blessing we have to be able to be obligated to God to where we can worship every single day. Because once again, I say, you woke up this morning, so God's not done with you yet. You're still alive, and God has a purpose for your life. You are blessed to even be here today. Another one. God doesn't need your excuses. He needs your yes. So I was reading in Acts, I was reading about Peter. And you know how sometimes, how many people read their Bible? How many people just lied? I love trying to catch people like that. Yesterday I said, how many men do we have in the thing? And some people went like halfway up and I was like, oh no, what kind of church is this? No. So I was reading about Peter and you know how sometimes you can read the same thing over and over and over again, and the cool thing about the Bible is when you read it, sometimes you read it again and something just clicks, like never before, right? So let me remind you about this part in Acts that we're talking about here. This is when Peter's in prison, okay? Anybody know this story? A couple of you? Okay, three people. Got it. All right, this is going to be a good, we're teaching today. All right, so Peter's in jail. James has just been killed. Peter's in jail. So this is Acts 12, 5 through 11. So Peter, and I use the ESV, by the way, so here we go. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him from the church was made to God by the church. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And sentries before the door were guarding the prison. The Bible even says it was four of four, right? That's a massive amount of people guarding this person. So, just so you know, Peter's asleep, okay? I'm not going to lay on the floor here, but Peter's asleep, and he's chained to these two other, let's just call them 200-pound men. Okay, Peter's standing there, he's chained, right? He's chained. The dude's about to die. Then behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, waking him, saying, "Get up!" Hold on. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, wait a minute, hold on. See, that's what most of us do. We read that and we just bypass it. But let's go back. Let's just pause just for a second. Peter's asleep. Peter's chained to two big old gladiators. He's got 4x4 men guarding all the way out. He's chained. An angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "Get up." And then the chains fell off. One more time. "Get up." And then the chains fell off his hands. So what does that mean? Well, when I read it, it means this. So Peter's chained. Angel comes in, says, "Get up." And I have to think about how we would be today. I know how I would be. I'll put it on myself. You guys are Christians. You guys are living for the Lord. You're holy. I know. I'll talk about me. I'm chained to two 375-pound giants. In my mind, that's what they are. I'm chained like this. Somehow I fell asleep. Angel wakes me up and says, "Get up." And my first response would be, remember the point is, God doesn't need your excuses. He needs your yes. My first response would be, "Get up. What? Do you not see that I'm chained to these people? What do you mean, get up? Knock the chains off, and then I'll get up." Oh, come on, church, work with me. You know you would be the same way, right? God, do you not see what I'm dealing with right now? Your spouse is irritating you. Jesus, do you see her? Oh, hold on, no, it should be like this. Jesus, do you see him? This is what I'm dealing with. You want me to change? Change that. But that's not what the Bible says. Listen to the power of this. The angel said, "Get up." And without saying a word, he got up, and then the chains fell off. You see, God's not asking for our excuses of what he tells us to do. Now, in context, this was an angel here, sent by God. God doesn't care about your excuses of why you think you can't do something. He told you to do it. And then the blessing comes through the obedience. And too many of us today are too concerned about our own problems and too concerned about telling Jesus why we can't do something. And therefore, we are making it all about us. It's just like in the movies. You know that character's going to make it. You do. Like, oh, this looks real bad, but there's no way they're going to kill Tom Cruise off. You know? It's the same thing. You really think God, the God of the universe, is going to abandon you? But it's through the obedience. God, I can't tithe 10%. Because if I do, then I can't pay my bills. You really think God can't provide for you? Do you, how many people, I said this yesterday too, so shh. How many people have ever used Dave Ramsey? Dave Ramsey? Okay, all right, cool. You trust Dave Ramsey to help you out with money, but you don't trust God? Dave Ramsey's a dude. And the only person not following Dave Ramsey's rules are Dave Ramsey. I'm just being honest, man. Dave Ramsey ain't doing the envelope method, I promise. But you'll trust Dave Ramsey before you'll trust God. And final point. Here we go. We're going to wrap this thing up. I know some of you are like, oh, goodness. Yeah, any day. Final point is the biggest point. And I really need you to write this down, because oftentimes we really need to remember this. God is the main character, not you. One more time, because I feel like that just didn't quite hit right. God is the main character, not you. Don't believe me? The Bible is full of biblical heroes, if you would call them, or biblical characters that fell because they forgot their place. Don't believe me? Let's just, you know, we'll just go through a couple of them here just real quick. Adam and Eve in that stinking tree. My pastor, my personal pastor, Michael Pateau, said it the other day. He was like, you know, if it was me in the garden, we'd still be there. I'm just being honest. I'm not letting a snake talk to me. No way. Eve, I don't know if you see what I see, but that's a talking snake. I'm out. There's no way. Don't believe me? David. Bible says a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine? I've got another sermon I'm working on. It's going to be called If They Only Had a Twitter. And it's David going, just hanging out with the Lord, but ooh, she fine. Sin. Hashtag I shouldn't, but I may. Can you imagine if the news was around back then? Breaking news, King David caught up in scandalous affair, even ties to murder. Don't believe me? Judas, Lord have mercy. Do we even have to start? And then we just talked about Peter, but Peter walked with Jesus all day. I love the Lord. Denied him 3 times. And we want to say, oh, we'd never do that. You ain't physically walked with Jesus a day in your life. If you have, please come up here, because I would love to meet you. Peter denied him 3 times. I do not know this man. I do not know him. I do not know him. Moving forward, what's practical application of this? Many times we want to become the main character. We want a calling on our lives. How many people believe they have a calling on their life? Okay, half the room. How many of you are at church because you just think it's cool to hang out, I guess? God's got a purpose. Hold on. Well, what was Jeremiah 1:5? Let me just go back. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nation. So let me ask again, how many of you believe God's got a calling on your life? There we go. There's still 2 of you that are just like, I don't know. And that's okay. We're not done yet. But the thing you have to remember is it's not your calling. It's God's calling for you. It's not about you. Many people want to be famous. When I first got Facebook famous or internet famous or whatever you want to call it, infamous, depending on who you ask, I thought it was really cool. And then I realized that it wasn't. But the thing you got to remember, many of you pray for the God, give me the platform, give me the influence. But it's not your platform. It's the platform he gives you to use for his purpose. Here's another thing. I said yesterday I was talking about more political things and economical things and the realization that here in America today, you actually really own nothing. Oh, got quiet. You can pay off your house. You don't own that house. Because you still got to pay what? Taxes. Yeah. Watch what happens when you don't pay your taxes. House is gone. And they'll sell it for $25,000. You paid $500,000 for it. Land. Oh, that's a good one. We'll buy land. You don't really own that land. You rent it very expensively. And then the city council or the county council can tell you what you can and cannot build on that land. You don't own that land. Same thing on a spiritual purpose. You own nothing. It's not your money. It's not your job. It's not your platform. It's not your giftings. They're not even your kids. They're Jesus's, or they're God's children that have been entrusted to you. I saw a lot of mama bears pucker up when I said that. Hold on now. Hear me out though, but they're not. They are children of God that he has entrusted us. Do you see the mentality shift? Do you see the perspective shift here? All right, last but not least, it's not all about you. I want to finish it with a story here. How many people know who Billy Graham is? Okay, all right. Some of you need to go to church a little more, but all right, most of you. All right, now how many of you know who Mordecai Ham is? Okay, none of you. All right, that's good. Here's my purpose. Mordecai Ham was born in 1877. This dude was old. His name was Mordecai Ham. Talk about a name that does not exist anymore. That's my friend Mordecai. We call him Mord. Morty for short. It's not all about you. Mordecai Ham was born in 1877. He was a horseback evangelist. Went from town to town to town to town to town, sometimes preaching to five families alone. That man probably never saw the big picture. In fact, argued to say that there were moments where he was like, what am I doing? God, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. Why are there only five families here? But most people don't realize this. That one day while being in North Carolina, there was a family there, and there was a kid by the name of Billy Graham that he ministered to. And he was the one that actually led Billy Graham in the prayer of salvation. Now, Mordecai Ham probably never saw to fruition the acts of his obedience, but Billy Graham would go on to be the greatest evangelist the world had ever seen, preaching to over 215 million people with a documented 3.2 million salvations of accepting of Jesus in their heart, all because a guy named Mordecai Ham that none of you have heard of obeyed God and realized it wasn't about him. Now, it doesn't have to be all grand things. Talked about this a little bit yesterday. You don't have to be the next Billy Graham. You don't have to be the next multimillionaire of a company. You don't have to be any of those things. You're just the person that God told you to go give old homeless drunk Billy a $500 check or bill or whatever. Not a check. They probably don't have a bank account. Money. And everybody told you, don't give him that money. He's just going to sell it on booze. What are you doing? Are you insane? Everybody knows you don't do that. Don't worry about what other people have to say. If God told you to do something, go do it. It is not your responsibility what he does with your obedience. It is your responsibility to obey what God's telling you to do, because you never know if it is time for him to finally something to click. And through your obedience, your children, let them see you pray daily. Let them see you struggle. Let them see you turn to the Lord daily, because you never know what's going to stick with your children. You never know what your kids are going to be able to do. Maybe you have a calling into the ministry. Maybe you have a calling. You're going to be the next Graham Allen and be more famous than I ever was. But what if it's not for you to be famous? What if it's about the person? There are people that come up to us all the time. It breaks me. They say, I never prayed until we watched your show. I never did this until this. And for all I know, they're going to go off to do things better than I ever could. And God forbid you tithe to the church, because you have no idea what God's going to do through them for him, initiated by your obedience. I'm going to say that one more time. You do not know what God is going to do through the church, people, anything. You have no idea what God is going to do through them, for him, initiated by your obedience. And last but not least, in closing, the truth is, hopefully, God blesses you enough to see his plan play out. But for the majority of us, we will not be written about in the history books. But remember this, even if you aren't, remember that your yes and obedience to God is all part of the greatest story ever told and the greatest movie that anyone has ever seen. God bless you guys. Thank you guys for listening to me today.
Graham Allen, let's hear it. Come on, y'all.
Thank you.
Come on, y'all. Let's go. Let's go. My goodness, Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen. All right, stay on your feet, though. Stay on your feet. Don't sit down, okay? I want to shout out some other people that are here as well. King's Council and your family, thank you guys. Kids, those guys were awesome. You see a lot of people that talk it out, but they don't walk it out. These folks walk it out right here. So if you see them today, make sure you shake a hand, hug a neck, do something like that. Who's ready to surrender ownership to the King? After that, ready to surrender. Drop the excuses, right? All that other kind of good stuff. Get up and lose those chains. Let me see a show of hands. Who wants to drop them chains today? Who wants to drop it? All right, we're going to close this thing out in prayer. Job 22:21 says that we submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Who wants prosperity this morning? Prosperity in everything we do. Everything we do. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together that we've had. We thank you for Graham Allen for sharing his time and his wisdom with us, Father God, and being an obedient servant, not about himself, but for the Lord. And so, Father God, let us just follow in those footsteps that Graham has showed us today, that, Father God, that you are first in all things that we do. We give you first fruit, and everything else will follow. Father God, I ask that you watch over each and every one of these people as they leave here today. Give them safety. Give them safe travel back home, Father God, and let them have a tremendous week. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.